Do you want to drink whiskey?
I do.
Do you have whiskey?
Not currently in this room, but either. In my house.
I have to go find it. All right. You want to go find it and I'll go find mine? And
then yeah.
We'll have a drinky drink.
Sounds good.
All right. All right. So this is Three Blind Drinks Talk to Ethan time. Don't know what to call it. I was thinking about it in the shower and I was like, I could call it Patreons because there's only two of them and Ethan's one of them. I don't know what to call it, but here we are in quarantine. I don't know where Chris is. We've tried to record a couple times, but he's more busy now than he was. So that's hard. So I just reached out to Ethan and here we are. I don't know if I'm going to release the video or not because I haven't really thought about it. So maybe you'll see Ethan's face. Maybe you won't. I was trying to decide how to make this blind. I don't have any good ideas. Yeah, I mean, I know what I'm drinking. I don't know what Ethan's drinking, but I could probably guess after he says, oh, this is bourbon. Anyway, Ethan Kerner is my guest, and he is... Who are you?
I'm a guy.
Okay, that was deep. How do I know you? You and I went to college together, so we've known each other for 15 years?
Yeah, longer than that, Jack.
How does math work?
19, I think.
Jeez Louise.
That's when we started college, right?
Oh, yeah. All my math is based on when we graduated, and that's not correct.
Yeah, that's what happens. After you graduate, you stop doing your math correctly.
That's right. Everything is -4. It's made writing checks really hard.
You still write checks, Jack?
I write one check for rent.
That sounds about right.
I don't think that I've written any other checks for like probably years.
Yeah. I can't remember the last time I wrote out a check. I think we do a lot of like electronic checks.
Yeah.
But hard copy, no.
All right. So I'm going to take a sip of my whiskey. And then I guess we'll talk a little bit about what we're drinking and, you know, making it up as we go.
Okay. I'm going to take a sip of my whiskey too.
If you want. So on mine, I'm very like, mine is in the Scotch realm. It's definitely got the barley thing going on. It's very grassy in not the like new, but in the like, I've been around some mowed lawn. It's not quite fermented, but maybe it has a little bit. Yeah, mine is very nice. It's clearly aged well. And it's got some character, got some, oh, I got it. The way that this is blind is that we'll just never tell the audience and then just be like, those bastards, what did they even drink?
What were they drinking? Yeah, mine is, I don't know. I've got allergies, so it's really hard to tell what the nose is saying right now.
Yeah.
But the taste is like very honey forward and then a whole lot of heat.
Oh, okay. So you got something maybe higher proof?
I don't know. It's particularly high proof. It's just the heat's coming through right now. I don't know. Mm-hmm. It is a 90.
Okay.
Not the highest, but not the lowest, right?
No, yeah. I mean, 90 to like 96 is often, in my opinion, like the sweet spot of a lot of character, but also like doesn't overwhelm.
Yeah.
I don't know what this one is. This one is.
Yeah, the heat goes away pretty quick. It's just like hits you and then it's gone and then you're back to like some spicy, I don't know what. Spicy just stuff. Spicy honey.
Okay, so like actual spice, like fire or like spice, like, you know, baking cloves and
A little bit of both.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so I'm going to guess yours is a bourbon.
You're pretty close.
Is it a rye?
It is a rye.
Okay.
I am a rye fellow.
Yeah, that explains the spicy honey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I love smelling this.
I think a lot of that heat on the first sip was because that was the first alcohol of the day.
Yeah, totally.
And it's definitely not as hot anymore.
Yeah. Mm. So I'm drinking, I can't decide if I should tell you. It is my Christmas gift.
Ooh.
And I thought it was super hard to find. So I was very, very impressed with my wife's sleuthing abilities. It is funny though, when you get a bottle of scotch for a gift, it's like, all you got to do is pick it up and you know what it is.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know what it is, but you know what it is.
There's no mystery.
Do you have any story with yours? How did you come to be drinking it?
I'm actually like finishing the bottle right now.
Oh, nice.
So this is like my, I don't drink daily, but this is my daily drinker.
Okay.
And it's one of three bottles of whiskey I own right now. So,
okay,
there you go.
When you have three in the house, do you have like this is my special occasion whiskey, or like how do you delineate what they are?
Yeah, I've got one that I think I've had as long, like I've had since I lived in LA. So,
oh wow,
6 years, because it was one that Laurel picked up in Edinburgh when she was there.
Okay,
and yeah. It's I think it's called Cadenhead.
Oh yeah,
is that right?
Yeah,
cask strength, so straight from the barrel, like from the source in Scotland. And there's,
oh, I
like,
remember that whiskey.
Yeah, there's about that much of it left that we just yes. haven't found the right occasion to finish off the bottle yet.
Yeah, you should. It might have changed, because with that much air in the bottle, it might have actually changed.
Yeah, I'm betting that it is not the same as it was.
We had we did that sherry episode, and I was over at Billy's house, and he had two bottles of the Midsummer Night's Dram, and one was like yours, almost gone, and the other was full. So we did a side by side, and it was night and day. It was like not even the same whiskey. And he actually threw it out after that. He was like, I mean, I know there's nothing here, but I don't even think it's worth drinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The other one is, I mainly have it right now because this one is almost gone. And it's also more of a mixer.
Okay.
Something I don't care about throwing in some other mixed drinks, because it's really cheap.
Yeah.
Also a rye.
You're a rye guy.
I am a rye guy.
How did you come to find yourself to be a rye guy?
I think one of the first, like, intentional, you should try to taste this whiskeys was a rye.
Mm-hmm.
Probably Templeton.
Okay.
And I was like, ooh, I really like this.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, I like ryes. I'll keep trying those.
Yeah. Have you ever met a rye you didn't like?
I've met ryes that were less good than others.
Okay.
I don't know that there was ever one that I'd tasted and was like, oh, I don't like that at all.
When I was first getting into whiskey, I was at Mission, and you know, you do the walk up and down the aisle six times and you finally stop and you're like, okay, I'm going to pick something. And I was like, oh, this one's pretty. James Pepper, 1776. And I think it's a testament to like branding and ideas getting stuck in your head. And so like, I think because it was called Pepper, when I tasted it, I was like, oh, that's just pepper. That's all I taste. And I now know that this isn't true, but at the time I thought it was like flavored peppery, like they added flavor to it. It's not, it's just a high rye, rye, if you will. But it was like in to the point where I was like, ooh, I don't like that. I probably wouldn't hate it now, but it was one of those things like in the moment where I was just like, oh, yeah. There is some whiskey that I don't love or maybe even don't like.
Yeah. I always feel like that. I haven't had a ton of scotch. Mm. But every time I try scotch, I'm always like, I think I'll like scotch. And then I try it and I'm like, I don't really like that.
Yeah. It's very different. Like, I think I was talking with a friend and he actually found out that corn was a migraine trigger for him. And he had been drinking a lot of bourbon and he's like, he just kind of put up with it. And he then switched to scotches because of that. And he's grown to love them because it's like necessity, but it is a completely different animal. It's like, it's a just different thing altogether.
Yeah. I fully acknowledge that my dislike of scotch is based on like three different tries and not on any sort of actual reality of a taste or a preference.
Yeah. So I am having the Oban Bay Reserve, which is the Game of Thrones bottle. Ooh. This one I'm showing Ethan right now. It's the black one for those of you who only have ears to see me.
For the Night's Watch, The bastards in black.
That's right. They even have the like one of the things they probably read on the show, in, like black on black there, right here. It's like almost impossible to read. And it's Oban, so it's I believe that means it's a Highland. And I feel like Highland Scotch is one of those scotches that I can actually taste blind and know that it's a Highland.
So, in my limited knowledge, Highland means a bit of smoke or a lot of smoke. Islay's the really smoky, right?
Yeah, Islay's the super smoke, if you will. And this is like probably has some characteristics of smoke in it, but definitely not smoky.
Yeah. That's cool.
And it's definitely more of a bridge for me between bourbon and Speyside or bourbon and scotch or Yeah. Like this sometimes has that oaky characteristic that you get in bourbons. And I think Speyside doesn't have that as much because it's usually lighter just because of temperature and whatever. And a lot of Speysides are really sweet, therefore kind of bourbon-y, but I feel like there's more of a heart connection, if you will, between the Highlands and the bourbons.
I'm curious, Jack, if you can guess what I'm drinking.
Bullet rye.
Dead on.
Yes. The green one.
The green one.
I think Bullet is, I think it was the first whiskey that I actually sought out myself.
Yeah.
Because it's cheap and it's attainable and it's not like super complicated, but it's also really good.
Yeah. I think it's a great daily drinker.
Yeah.
I like the rye better than the straight bourbon.
Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah. But the bourbon's good too. I haven't tried, they have like a 15 year or something.
Yeah. I think they have a 10 and a 12 maybe, so they've got a couple now.
Yeah. I haven't tried those yet, but I'm curious.
Yeah. I heard they're not worth the money, but if maybe you could get someone to buy it and you would drink it.
Yeah. Some rube.
Yeah. Somebody at one point, I think it was one of my friends that you also have, texted me, it was Tyler, I think, was like, don't buy this. Did you grow up with your parents drinking?
Yeah, sort of. My mom, not really very much at all, but my dad liked to drink, but also didn't like to spend money on drinks. So
okay.
Never had good anything. Yeah, I was thinking about like, because I have listened to the show and I know that you often ask how you got started.
Yeah.
I think the first taste of whiskey I ever had was probably around the age of 11 or 12.
Okay.
And it was me sneaking into my dad's stash and trying what I think was probably Canadian Mist.
Okay.
like the plastic.
Yeah.
Super giant bottle of basically mouthwash that's labeled whiskey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you remember your reaction?
I remember thinking, why would anyone want to put that in their mouth on purpose?
Yeah. That's
and I
great.
Kind of still feel that way about Canadian whiskey.
Yeah, I've the YouTube channel I watch, they definitely have reviewed some really good Canadian whiskeys, but I don't know that I've ever had one.
Yeah. Like,
I've definitely heard about them. But I'm curious.
I've never had any since then. I just have like this visceral gut reaction to the name Canada and whiskey together.
Because I think the law is different in Canada as to how it can be made. There's something different.
Yeah.
I don't remember the exact specifics, but there is something different about how they can categorize whiskey. It's still aged in oak and all that stuff, but
yeah,
it's not necessarily the same standards.
They're mostly blends too, aren't they?
Yeah. Almost everything I think in Canada is a blend. So
yeah,
that's probably why you get that mouthwash feel is it's all new make plus a tiny bit of aged whiskey.
Yeah. Yeah. This was not any kind of quality whiskey.
I can't imagine though, like what if your first taste was something really like sought after and supposedly good and you'd still just be like, I'm 12. There's no way I'm going to like this.
Yeah. Yeah. You have no frame of reference for anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is whiskey your, like, what's your alcohol, like preferred alcohol if you had to choose?
Right now it is probably whiskey again. I've gone through different phases. Last summer, I really liked tequila.
Okay.
And would do a lot of actual, like, what they call the Mexican mule, which is like a Moscow mule, but with tequila and instead of vodka. But probably it's tequila or whiskey.
And are you like, you know, on the mezcal train?
I'd like to be. I've had some mezcals and really liked them, but also I live in a region where it is difficult to source good alcohol.
So this is how we transition to, let's talk the history. Do you remember National Beer Week? Were you ever invited to National Beer Week?
I don't think so.
Oh, man.
I don't remember.
So Stefan used to, when his parents would leave town, would like have everyone over and then they would try to source all this great beer.
Uh-huh.
And I think I've talked about it on the show before. And I remember trying, so like I was invited to it, whatever, it was fine. But then like following years, I had opinions on what we should drink. And so I was a part of the people who tried to find the beers, which in Northwest Iowa is really hard.
Yeah.
We would go to Sioux Falls and like Lamar's and like try to just anywhere that might be good and have something. It's very challenging.
Mm-hmm. I've learned I've been back in Northwest Iowa for about 9 months now. And I've learned that the Spencer Hy-Vee has a really great selection.
The Spencer Hy-Vee?
Yeah.
That's so weird.
Yeah. Apparently, like whoever manages the liquor section of the Hy-Vee basically has free reign to order whatever they want.
Oh, nice.
And the guy who manages that, who I've talked to a couple of times now, just has really great taste and chooses really cool stuff.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I can't stress how great it is to have a place that you actually know will have something that you might want. Like,
yeah.
Growing up in there in the middle of nowhere, it's like, I mean, when I was a kid, you couldn't even buy liquor very easily in the town I grew up in, right? Like, you used to have to go to like some place that had a liquor store because they have that, you know how some states it's like you have to have a delineated different store. You can't sell it in the grocery store.
Right.
So we'd have to like go 15, 20 miles just to even buy booze, you know, like actual like whiskey or whatever.
Yeah.
So having a place you can actually go and know that the selection will be good after you know you're going to drive for it.
Yeah.
Is really great.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I lived in Texas for a hot second.
Oh, yeah.
And we lived in a town that wasn't dry anymore, but used to be dry.
Okay.
And so there was a North Sherman, which was just past the city limits of Sherman, and it was basically a liquor store and then like three other houses, and they had become a city because that's where the liquor store could be outside of the city limits of the town.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's really funny. Like, how do you, we're going to be a different town. Trust me.
we're just going to be our own town, and then, you know, we can do whatever we want.
That's right. That's how most towns get founded.
That's, yeah, probably true.
Maybe true.
Definitely true.
It's definitely, I mean, it's been true for at least 10 minutes.
At least. I remember even in college, like, didn't Jim Van Rye like special order Killian's Irish Red at just to be at the bar for him to drink?
Yeah, him and my dad.
Yeah.
Like they this bar, which is, I think it's gone, right? I guess you live there, you could tell
me. Yeah, there's a Mexican restaurant there now.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah.
This bar used to have Mexican food only on Wednesday nights, and Jim, the guy Ethan's talking about, and my dad were roommates in college. And when they moved back, he and my dad would always get Mexican food, and we would all join them on Wednesday nights. And there was no good beer to order. So I think, yeah, they special ordered it and just gave it or sold it to the bar or whatever. Or somebody special ordered it, knowing that those are in the back fridge and those are for Jim and John.
Yeah. Which is, you know, like both the good and the bad thing about a small town is,
yeah, exactly.
Like everybody knows, oh, that's Jim and John's beer.
Yep.
But then also you have to have special beer.
Yeah, exactly. Like you have to be the one that gets that. I think my favorite part, I mean, other than that Mexican food was amazing, my favorite part about that is you didn't even really have to order. You just walked in and then Marge would go back and she'd get you a beer. Mm-hmm. Like that's just how it was.
Yeah.
So how is it living back in the town in which college you went?
You know, it's pretty good, actually. We had some trepidations.
Yeah.
For sure. But it's changed a lot.
That's good.
Since we were college kids. And a lot of it is people our age coming back.
Oh, yeah.
And starting businesses. And changing the way stuff happens.
What's been the business that you've been most surprised by or have been most influenced by?
I mean, in Sioux Center itself, the Fruited Plain is,
what is the Fruited Plain?
The Fruited Plain is a delightful little coffee shop / wine tasting bar / quasi cafe that a good friend of Jack and mine started and continues to own and operate. And they still have food available for takeout if you're in the Sioux Center area. So support your local businesses during the quarantine.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, when I would go back to Sioux Center, Fruity Plain was by far the highlight for me. It was incredible. And I couldn't believe it existed in that town, let alone that 15 mile radius.
Yeah. And now in Orange City, there's another really great little coffee shop / cafe called Town Square that's also doing the same things. And
that's great.
You know, locally sourcing all their food and
nice.
Locally sourcing beers and coffees and doing cool stuff.
But has there been any surprising businesses or things that you're like, I can't really believe this survives? And works?
So that place in Orange City, Town Square, they have a couple of different people who come in like one night a week for part of the year and do like special foods. Mm-hmm. So during the winter, there's a woman who comes and makes pho like every Saturday night.
Wow.
And it is, I will say this, the first pho I ever had was in Chinatown in LA.
Yeah.
So like probably some of the best pho you can get in the States.
Yeah.
And this stuff is up there. It's up there with it. That's pretty good pho. And when you, if you don't get there right at 5, you're going to wait in line for 45 minutes to an hour to get pho in Orange City, Iowa.
That's great. Isn't that very surprising? Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah. You still have to drive like an hour to get good sushi, but...
Well, I mean, it could be argued that you shouldn't be able to find good sushi in the middle of America anyway.
I would often make that argument that if I cannot see an ocean,
yeah,
I maybe don't want to eat that sushi.
Yeah.
But pho, that I will get anywhere. Yeah.
And in a lot of ways, pho is a great... it's a great thing for Northwest Iowa because like the beef and the, you know, all the different varieties and like, you know, it's warm and it's comforting and it's perfect winter food. It's like,
yeah,
it makes sense in a lot of ways.
Yeah. It's not super challenging.
No,
it's good.
It's, I mean, at its heart, it's just a great soup.
Yeah. And that's who doesn't love a great soup?
I mean, everyone does. Well, that's good to hear. I'm glad that that exists.
Trying to think of any other, like, there's a cool burger place in Orange City now that's local. That just started up. There's lots of cool little things.
Yeah.
A lot of people our age, like, involved in the arts and doing cool concerts and making music. I don't think the backpack existed when you were still heading back to the old Sioux Center.
No, I knew about it because of Laramie, but I didn't.
Yeah.
I never got to experience it. I have a pint glass that says the backpack because I supported them.
Yeah.
And I think I have like a cassette tape kicking around here somewhere. Is one of the perks of supporting them. But that's a music venue, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So the Fruited Plains has a back room and then they have a backpack room. Yeah. Hence the name, the backpack. And if you know Laramie, when you walk into that space, it makes perfect sense. If you don't know Laramie, you would walk into that space and be probably confused at first and then probably delighted.
Yeah,
because there's some great music and cool scene for local musicians. And then like some non-local musicians will come through touring and do some cool stuff there too. So,
oh, that's great.
Yeah. Obviously right now, no one's coming anywhere, but
yeah.
This past fall, there was a bluegrass band from Buenos Aires, Argentina. called Che Apalache, and they were amazing.
Yeah.
And it's such a like tiny little intimate venue that like they get done playing and then they just go stand in the audience right next to you and you can be like, hey, that was a really nice set. And where are you from? What you doing? And you know, you just like have a cool little small town chat with people.
That's great.
Yeah. It's really cool.
So is the backpack is, that's where we used to sit and smoke cigarettes, right?
Probably.
Yeah,
I think I was off the cigarettes at that point, so I probably wasn't there. But yeah. Like that garage door that opens up to Arlo's.
Yep.
Yeah, that Got area.
It. Yeah, like when I would come back for Christmas, I would inevitably end up at the Fruited Planet like 11 p.m. and then just hang out until they closed. And we always end up back there. That's really cool. Yeah. I'm glad that exists.
Yeah. Yeah, like when we first came back, we first moved back, and there was a concert like that weekend or something, and I was just like remembering all the places I used to gig back when I was a person who thought I was a musician.
Yeah.
And like how hard it was to get people to come see stuff.
Yeah.
And you'd have to lug all your own crap everywhere. And
yeah.
And it was just like, this is so cool that this exists here now.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like a culture of music happening.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Where it just wasn't there nearly as much when we were there.
So you're no longer a musician, Ethan?
Oh, I'm a person who plays music.
That's an interesting delineation.
It's not something that I would anticipate being able to make a living at doing or anything like that. So
yeah, that makes sense.
You know,
you got to draw the line somewhere, I guess.
That's right. I occasionally play music. How about LA, Jack? Are there any cool places there to hang out?
Well, you can't hang out anywhere right now.
That's right. Look who's laughing out the other side of their face now, Jack.
That's right.
I don't know.
I'm trying to think, like, since you left, a lot of stuff has turned over a lot, but it keeps, you know, restaurants keep going.
Yeah.
You remember that bar? Was it called the Chalet when you were here? Do you remember that? Okay,
yeah,
so
the
there
chalet.
Was that bar changed over twice, and then was called the Old Chalet for a while, which I was like, "Wow, I've lived here long enough to know that the reference."
Yeah,
and now it's turned over again, and it's somebody who went to Emerson. So before this all happened, we were really excited to go. Because that's where Erica went to school. But we haven't gone yet. So now we're just worried that they survive, you know? Like, all these restaurants are like... I just, this morning, bought groceries from a restaurant. Was Four Cafe around when you were here?
I can't remember. I can't remember if I know the name because I've heard you talk about it before or because it was around when I lived there.
It's on Colorado. They own like three restaurants within a block of each other, but they're selling groceries now. Like, you just order and at 2 o'clock I'm supposed to go pick up, you know, flour. Cause that's the thing I can't find right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's interesting to see all these like pivots, you know, it's like, all right, well we're going to, cause I saw somebody today, I think it was on Instagram say, since liquor laws don't really work anymore, bars are like selling bottles.
Yeah.
And so they're all, whoever it was excited about the bottle they got, but like the bar close to here, which is new, they're like selling pre-made cocktails. The only catch is you have to buy food with it.
So
to be an essential business, they have to serve food. And so if you want, you know, like a 4-serving old fashioned, you have to buy chips or whatever.
Yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. It seems like, I don't know, maybe a good thing that will come out of this is we'll look at all the ridiculous old laws that we used to just tolerate and be like, that's dumb. Let's stop doing that.
Yeah. Yeah. There was
but probably not.
Yeah.
Probably we'll continue on like we were.
Yeah. There's this article that Chris shared on Facebook and Erica also read and like talked with me about it, about how like, there's going to be this artificial push to go back to the way it was.
Yeah.
And that's all well and good. And I think some of that, like I'm like 50-50 on it. Like I do think there are things that should go back to the way they were, but there are a lot of things that, I mean, like I can't tell you how clear it is here. It's insane.
Right.
Like people just aren't driving. And when you've got like 10 million people not getting in their cars every day to go to work, it's insane how much it helps just the like air quality. It's
right.
It's bananas.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen much of a change in lifestyle in the quarantine?
I feel like initially there was a little bit more, and now like I don't know exactly what our numbers are for cases, but I think it's been pretty low and pretty steady.
Yeah.
because we're small.
Yeah.
And so people have kind of been like, we're good now. Mm. And I feel like in the last week or so, there's people, so some people have started relaxing and started ignoring things. Mm. But then also, like, at the same time, I see more and more people wearing masks when I go out now. So yep. It's like kind of a, you know, two steps forward and one step back.
Yeah.
I was reflecting that, like, most Midwesterners were social distancing before quarantine happened anyway. Because yeah. We've got big personal space bubbles.
Yeah. And you've got literal space between people, too.
Right. Yeah. We can spread out a lot easier.
Yeah.
Not that LA is super cramped, but there's just a lot more people there.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, when I think about my block, you know, it's like, holy crap, there's so many people that live here. But then when I think about New York, it's like,
right,
LA's nothing.
Yeah. I think that, you know, I mean, obviously the big thing is schools different. And that, for me as a teacher, that's the biggest change. So.
Yeah. Do you still go into work or are you doing it all from home?
I'm mostly at home. I occasionally go into work and do stuff there. When I need access to my shop.
Oh, yeah.
And stuff like that. But for the most part, I can do what I need to do at home.
Yeah. I'm having a running commentary of Chris in my head. Like, I'm imagining his questions. Uh-huh. So I'm like, oh, he would have really perked up when you said shop.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, what is shop?
I have a shop.
Ooh, you have a workshop?
I have a workshop and I am in charge of it and there are tools in it and wood and I can make things.
And that encapsulates Ethan.
I work in the theater.
Oh.
Which is also, of course, a big change is like were supposed to open a show this weekend. Like,
oh yeah.
We would be in previews tonight and opening our show tomorrow night. And that's not happening.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird.
Yeah, because like as long as I've known you, you guys have been in rehearsals around your birthdays, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
So like as long as I can remember, it's like, because your birthdays are close to each other, right? Like within a month
or so? No.
Oh, well then I was wrong.
Mine's in the spring and Laurel's is in the fall.
That's what it is. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's like they always hit and it's like, oh, it's my birthday, but I'm so busy. I can't do anything. So we'll do something once the show's up or whatever.
Right. Yeah. We long ago decided that birthdays were dumb and we were going to celebrate birth weeks.
Nice.
So we could actually like get close enough to celebrate during the time period.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I was remembering last year I treated Erica's birthday like it was Christmas. So like I piled up all the presents and I made her stare at them until the actual day. She was nonplussed, as she would say.
Yeah. I feel like when I get a gift for Laurel, I have a hard time waiting for her actual birthday.
Yeah.
Cause I'm usually really excited about giving it to her and I'd be like, yeah. Hey, do you want your birthday present now? I know it's like a month away, but do you want it now? Because I have it.
That's funny. That's, yeah. I'm the same way. Like Christmas time, it's like when you find that perfect gift, it's like, hey, yeah. I think maybe we should open one early.
Yeah.
Just one. And this one. Yeah. It should be this one. So whiskey, huh?
Yeah. I had a question and then I forgot it.
Oh.
So it's gone now.
Okay. Well, interrupt me when it comes back.
Yeah, we'll see. So I had before this bottle of Bullet, I had a bottle of High West Double Rye.
Oh, very nice.
Which is, that one's probably my favorite rye,
mm-hmm.
but is a little more expensive than the Bullet. So I don't get it on the rigs. Also harder to find than the Bullet.
Yeah, for sure.
So I had this bottle of Double Rye sitting in the cupboard and I hadn't been drinking it very much cause I hadn't been home that night cause I was working.
Yeah.
And I came back got done with shows at like in the end of November, and I was like, "Ooh, I'm gonna have a drink of that double rye."
Yeah,
and it was basically gone.
What?
Because Laurel had been mixing it with hot apple cider.
Oh wow!
Because it was the only whiskey we had.
Yeah,
and I was like, "What? Why did you? That was why did you? That was mine."
I bet that was good.
Yeah. Oh, it was very good.
That's really unfortunate for you.
Yeah. Fortunate for Laurel.
Do you like their Rendezvous rye?
I don't know if I've had that one. I've had the Campfire and the Burr rye.
Yeah.
And the Double. I don't think I've had the Rendezvous.
I remember liking it, but I think I like the one you have better.
Yeah. Double is the one I can most consistently find, too. Mm.
One of them, I don't remember which, is often cheaper. So it must have like...
I think the Double is usually the cheaper one.
Okay.
Yeah. I think the Burr Rye isn't super expensive either. Mm. But Campfire is usually quite a bit more.
Yeah. And of course, that's my favorite one.
Yeah, it's very good.
Yeah.
I once, like 2 or 3 years ago, maybe, was carded while buying a bottle of double rye. And for those of you who aren't watching a video, I don't look very young. Not that I look old, no. But also I thought to myself, why are you carding me when I'm buying this not cheap whiskey?
Yeah.
Like, are the youths of this town just very cultured and have impeccable whiskey taste that you're worried about 18-year-olds buying High West whiskey?
Yeah, I mean, I am. I'm concerned about it. The reason I'm concerned about it is because I don't want anyone else to have it.
Exactly.
So it's scarcity for me.
Exactly.
I love the idea of them carding you and being like, oh, sorry, you're not 40.
Yeah.
See, there's an age limit on who can buy High West.
That's right.
That's all.
Yeah, I suppose that could be a good, like, you're not old enough to enjoy this whiskey properly yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What age should that be?
I think it depends on the whiskey.
Mm, true.
I think, you know, bourbon, that's a young man's game.
I love
right?
it.
Right?
Yep.
And not that you can enjoy it as an old man, but it's really a young man's game, right?
Okay. I like it.
And then, you know, you get a little older, you start enjoying some more mixes, you know, mm-hmm. maybe some old fashions, some highballs,
mm-hmm.
working your way into some ryes.
Mm-hmm.
But, then you probably transition into Irishes and Scotches, and as you get older, probably, you know, you can appreciate as you age, the whiskey ages.
There you go. I think I might put Irish before you hit rye.
So like, I think so too.
You do the bourbons, 'cause that's like what you do. Like you do Jack and Coke. That's your introduction. And then maybe you try like Jameson or Bushmills or something by itself. And you're like, oh, that's easy to drink. I'll drink that. Yeah. And I'll be cool. I'll have it on the rocks or whatever. And then you start getting into interested. And if you keep going, then you start going into different.
Yeah, yeah.
But then I think you're right. Then you hit rye, and then you're like, ooh, this is interesting. And then you like start exploring Scotch and all the different countries of the world that produce it.
Indeed.
I guess unless you start like with Canadian.
Well, that's like, you know, when you're 11 or 12 and you're stealing
right.
it from your dad's stash.
As we've already discussed, that's a 12-year-old's game.
That's right. Could probably sell that to Canadian Mist for their next ad campaign.
12-year-olds Canadian love Mist, it.
12-year-olds love it.
All right, so if you had to pick, let's go with two whiskeys, and you just had to go back and forth between the two, Like as soon as you finish one bottle, you had to go to the other bottle and you just got to go back and forth. What are your two oscillating choices?
Mm-hmm.
For the rest of time.
For the rest of time.
That you can drink.
I'm going to throw a curveball in here.
All right. I like it.
I just bought a bottle of this stuff and it's surprisingly good, mm-hmm. if not super complex. Trader Joe's High Rye.
Oh.
Has a lot of cinnamony, clovey notes to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Makes it really nice for like a hot toddy.
Yeah.
Probably really good in the cider.
Yeah.
But still has some of that rye spicy yumminess.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would maybe switch to the standard bullet.
Bullet rye or bullet bourbon?
Bullet rye.
Okay, so you're going rye both sides.
Oh, yeah. That being said, I have very limited experience outside of rye, so.
Well, I mean, it's good to have, like, if you know what you like.
Yeah. Sure, why not?
Yeah, I think that's pretty good. I think I would sub out your bullet rye for Woodford rye.
Sure.
If I was going to be in rye land. But, you know, that's good. I like that. I like that. I don't think I could do rye all the time. I would need like... I've been on this like weird bourbon craving for months, you know, where I just like want something sweet and easy. I don't know if I could pick one, but that feels like it would be a good like juxtaposition next to like a Talisker or something, like a scotchy, mm-hmm. briny whiskey, mm-hmm. that then I could have like go back and forth between the, you know, the contrast.
Yeah. If we can expand it a little bit.
Go on.
I would probably substitute a nice smoky mezcal for the Trader Joe's rye.
Okay.
And switch between that and the rye.
I like that. I mean, I think that hits at the heart of it, which is like contrast, and it will make the other taste better, you know? Like, I think that's right. What's fun.
I remembered a question, Jack.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, it came back.
Good.
You're a fellow who likes to get a drink in a bar, aren't you?
Mm-hmm.
What is it about bars that you like versus sitting in your house with some friends and drinking a drink?
Usually, there's two or three things. So, number one is selection. At a bar, usually, unless you happen to host a podcast where three bottles of whiskey into your life on a regular basis, you don't have a lot to choose from. You've got like, you know, two or three options, or maybe five if you include all the different things. So selection is a big one. And then competence, like if I'm going to order a cocktail, like if I make an old fashioned at home, I almost never have oranges in the house, mm-hmm. even though I know that you should really put an orange, you know, squeeze of the peel around the edge and then maybe even in the cocktail, but I almost never have oranges at home. So I make an old fashioned at home. It doesn't have that. Mm-hmm. So I am like, I'm a pretty bad bartender. And I know that if I go to a place, they're usually, because they're employed, a good bartender. So that's probably number two. And then number three, I think there's something about being in a place. Chris's favorite word, context, mm-hmm. About, you know, going to a bar and meeting and finding a seat and ordering off an expansive menu and getting to, you know, not that you couldn't try other people's stuff when you're in someone's house, but again, because of selection, you often have a lot to choose from.
Right.
So you can be like, oh, why don't you get that and I get this and then we can swap and whatever. So I feel like that also is another reason I love to get a drink in a bar. Obviously, price is a detractor. Things are always, you know, much more expensive. But I think for the those,
but
things,
also it's like, at a bar though, like you can get a shot of a $500 bottle.
Exactly.
Right. Whereas at your house, you just got to buy that bottle.
Yeah, and hopefully you like it. Like that's the thing is like,
right.
So often, I mean, we have bottles here now that I don't know if I'm ever going to drink. Like yeah. I've tried a couple times to drink some of them when I'm just, oh, let's try this again. And it's like, yeah, it's fine, but it's not like exciting and worth my time.
Yeah. You've made a strong case for bars, Jack.
Yeah. Well, hopefully, you know, we're allowed to go out again sometime.
Yeah.
Well, let's see. What would you call yours? Would you name it? We didn't do any of the usual things.
You mean other than bullet rye?
I mean, yes, Mr. Literal.
Let's see. I think maybe spicy honey would be a good one.
Yeah. I think mine is like earth grain or something like earthy. It's almost like muddy in a way, but not in a muddy, like cloudy way. Muddy as in like just mud. That doesn't make sense.
How about, I'm going to go on a little journey with you, Jack.
I'm in.
Since whiskey is, I believe, Gaelic for water. How about naming it after the great blues man, Muddy Waters?
There it is. I've got it. I'm down. It's Muddy Waters. Or the great blues man, Muddy Waters.
That's right.
Well, I got to go pick up some groceries.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
Thanks. Thanks for doing this.
Can I share a brief anecdote?
Of course.
Earlier this week, I was able to locate some toilet paper.
Oh, good.
At a grocery store. And that was the first time I had found it since quarantine. And the feeling of accomplishment was, to me, clearly the same thing that hunter-gatherers felt when they finally killed that deer that would get their family through the winter.
Yeah.
Like, it was amazing how, like, I've never felt that proud about taking care of my family than when I found a 12-pack of toilet paper.
That's incredible.
Yeah. This is the new reality.
It's such a weird thing. Like, the toilet paper thing is so weird because it's totally created. Like,
yeah.
People, like, wanted it, and therefore they bought a lot of it. And now it's scarce for no reason.
Right.
Like, not because we need it any more than we ever needed it.
The shortage is 100% a shortage because people said there was going to be a shortage.
Yes. It's created.
So there was.
Yeah, totally. All right, well, this has been the first ever Zoom version of Three Blind Drinks. And I think it was a smashing success. We've done it.
Hooray.
Hopefully we'll talk again soon.
Yeah.